Tax season is here, and at this time of year, working poor people in the U.S., those families making less than $20,000 a year, may get some much-needed extra cash if they qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit.
It's one of our largest anti-poverty programs. As far as all of our programs go, it lifts more children out of poverty every year than any other program. It's about 5 million kids who get above the poverty line as a result of this credit.
That's Paul Keel, a reporter who covers the IRS for ProPublica. And Keel recently found that low-income families who file for the tax credit are audited by the IRS at much higher rates than wealthier Americans. And the auditing process can have a big impact on the families who rely on that extra money.
The immediate thing is the refund doesn't come. And that creates its own crisis because they always have plans for it before it comes, right? It's to pay off credit card debt or whatever. So that problem stays with you, and it can lead to another snowball of maybe you could take out a payday loan or whatever to get by. I recently did a series of stories about consumer bankruptcy, and bankruptcies in this country surge in February and March of every year because that's when people have money to pay an attorney to file. So it's a really big deal for people.
What, on average, does a family get in terms of this tax credit? How much are we talking about?
The average refund is going to be around $2,000 to $3,000. It can go a little bit higher depending on how many kids. It's based on how many children you have in the home. And so the main thing is whether your child qualifies as a qualifying child in the language of our tax law. That can be kind of a difficult question for the recipient of the credit to prove, because in a lot of low-income families, you're more likely to have situations where a grandparent is taking care of a child, or there might be more change in the living situation. So it's much easier to sort of prove that the child is qualifying in a quote-unquote traditional household. But there's a lot of research to show that in the low-income households, you're more likely to have these non-traditional setups, and that's where the IRS is going to go and say, hey, prove that this three-year-old lived with you for over 6 months of the relevant tax year.
Why would this set off an audit at all?
Well, I mean, it's very efficient in terms of claiming the credit because there's no bureaucracy to go through it to claim it. You just claim it on your tax returns. And going back to the 1990s, Republicans have been very focused on the idea that people are claiming this and who don't deserve it.
Is this like the sense that people are going to take advantage of the system like they did with welfare? And I'm having big quotes here.
Right. Yeah, no, the concern is that people are going to claim it. The fraud is basically the concern. So since the 1990s, even going back to Newt Gingrich, Republicans have put pressure on the IRS to minimize the amount of, I guess, incorrect claims that are made. And so it's been a real priority for the IRS in terms of how many audits they're doing of this program, to the point where for a while now, it's accounted for more than a third of all audits that the IRS does. It's in the hundreds of thousands of audits. And that mix has been increasing because going back to 2010, the Republican Congress has been cutting the budget of the IRS. And a major effect of this is that it's led to a massive drop in staffing at the IRS. And these kinds of audits of people who claim this credit, are largely automated in terms of how they start. So someone at the top of the IRS decides, you know, we want to audit so many people. And then you have computers choose who, you know, flag people as, you know, potential problems. And then, like, basically a letter goes out from a computer. And, you know, by the hundreds of thousands, these letters go out. So as the IRS is dwindling in size because it's losing staff because of these budget cuts, this is one area of its audits has been more resistant to that drop in audits because there's such automation involved. But the flip side of that is if you're on the other side of those audits, you get one of these letters and you raise your hand and say, hey, I deserve this credit. And you send in a pack of documents showing that your three-year-old lived in your house for over 6 months of the year. That's when someone on the other end needs to be there. A person needs to look at that at the IRS. And then for that reason, there's been a massive bottleneck. I've talked to people who have been audited under this program, and they get a letter saying, thanks for sending in your documents. We'll get back to you in 6 months. That's a problem because, as I said, people really rely on these refunds. And so it's a real crisis when they don't come, and then for it not to come for another year, and then for it to potentially affect your next year's tax returns is when it becomes, you know, something that can really create a problem, like a spiraling sort of problem for people. You know, problems create other problems. It snowballs.
We're talking about a lot of families here who are low-income families, poor families. I'm hesitant to even ask how this breaks down on racial lines, but often when we talk about wealth in this country, it often breaks down pretty interestingly. So what have you found in terms of who is being audited?
Yeah, so first of all, the IRS says obviously they don't look at people's race when they do audits, and they also say that they don't look at where people live in their audit mix. From their perspective, that's a way for them to prevent any, you know, discriminatory practices.
But your reporting is found different.
Right. So there's actually an economist who worked at the IRS for many decades, and he's actually in retirement, and he did this study looking at, okay, if this is how the IRS is conducting audits, if this is the mix of audits, what does it look like in terms of where these people live, who we are auditing? If you put those numbers together, you see right from the beginning, the South jumps out, and that's a reflection of there's a lot of low-income people in the South who are working poor and are claiming this credit, and particularly like, you know, the Black Belt of the South, you know, the southern counties of Alabama, Mississippi is the most audited state per capita when you run these numbers. And then certain other things jump out, like Native American reservations and, you know, along the Texas border with Mexico, you can see a lot of counties there that are mostly Latino. So this is what it means if the IRS has these priorities and audits in this way.
It feels somewhat punitive. It feels somewhat, and I'm saying somewhat because of I'm thinking back to the word fraud here, the assumption of fraud. There's almost an assumption of criminality here at this point on the part of low-income recipients of this credit. Let's talk about people who tend to actually make a lot of money and tend to actually potentially not get audited as much. People with a lot of money, people with real money here. What does the audit process look like for rich people?
Yeah, so you can't audit a rich person the same way that these audits where a computer spits out a letter. In order to audit, you know, a billionaire, even a very wealthy person, to audit a business, a corporation, you need a really skilled auditor to do that work. And as a result of these budget cuts, people are not being replaced. These audits just aren't done because there's no one to do them.
So let me get this straight. So it's easier to audit a poor person than it is a rich person.
When you're talking about trying to trace income from someone's trust to a, you know, a pass-through entity or LLC, you know, it gets very complicated very fast. And so one thing we've been trying to show is how that aspect of what the IRS is doing has been badly damaged by these budget cuts over the years. If you make less than $20,000 a year, well, particularly if you claim the earned income credit, you're more likely to be audited. Then you have to go all the way up to people who make more than $1 million a year to get to an audit rate that's larger or higher.
Paul Keel is a reporter with ProPublica covering the IRS. Paul, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.